Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
State of the Empire is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse, and is brought to you in part by Consequence of Sound, the web's foremost source of music and film news, reviews, and insights. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to State of the Empire, Nerdy Show's Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in Alderaan places. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
Hey, I'm Matt.
And this is Rex.
Welcome to the Rogue One review episode. We've all seen the movie. In Doug and I's case, we've just seen the movie. Matt and Rex caught it yesterday at a special screening. I'm super jazzed to talk about this. What we're going to do is we're going to give you the briefest of spoiler-free review, just give you our overall thought, and then we're going to open those blast doors wide and we're going to talk about this movie no holds barred, but we're going to make it quick because Matt and Rex, they got to go see a screening at Man's Chinese Theater in like no time at all. So all right, Matt and Rex, your feelings on this film, spoiler free.
We share very similar opinions this time, which is
nice. The most succinct way that I think I've been able to describe it, because this one's been a really hard one for me to digest, is the content is there and the form is there and the lore is there. It's just the construction of it for me was just way all over the place.
So, like, the way I've been describing it is I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it had some very serious structure and pacing issues. And that's kind of where I'm at. But I really, really did like it.
And issues of brevity. I mean, it all happened so fast.
Yes. What about you guys? Because we haven't heard what you thought of it yet. We're both kind of like biting our nails about it.
Yeah, guys, I feel like I just saw a Star Wars. Like for the first time in my life, we saw a little bit of a Star Wars at the end of Jedi. We saw a teeny, tiny star skirmish, really, in A New Hope. But this time, we just saw a Star Wars, and I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah, the scale was great. Like the scale of the complaint, I just, you know, it was the micro level things that I think really just didn't sit quite right with me. Like mostly prior to Act 3.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, Act 3 really, I think they started with Act 3 and worked backwards.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. I don't know. Like, I kind of want to just jump into the spoiler part because it's hard to really get out what I'm feeling without that sort of, so.
I really dug it. There are some problems with, there's some actual like face slappers, but all in all, it's still like, I've never seen a film quite like it before, even in the context of Star Wars films. If this film had existed by itself without other Star Wars films, I'd say, holy shit, what the fuck did I just watch? That was a little mind blowing. That's my takeaway. It was good.
If this came out before The Force Awakens, I would have been like, give me that Force Awakens now, instead of vice versa. Force Awakens was like, oh, I hope it's good. If this came out first, I would have been like, dude, they can't do no wrong. The magic's back.
Yeah, see, I'm sitting at this movie as like maybe a little bit better than Attack of the Clones, and that's about like where I'm ranking it right now.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's not that. Yeah, well, see, I like all of them so far. Like none I've left saying that I dislike the movie. There's a lot going on in this movie. There's some things that just make me like. I mean, there's things that really like put me in places that just very, very magical, but just the movie overall, unfortunately, didn't do that for me.
Blast doors, open them.
We haven't really heard from Doug yet. So Doug, quickly, what you got?
Fair enough.
I agree that there were problems, but they didn't hinder anything for me. My enjoyment of it is great, and I definitely recommend seeing it. And if you nitpick the problems with this film, it's the same nitpicks I would have with any other movie that came out this summer. And I think the faults here compared to other faults like it are better. Like they're not as glaring and not as bad.
I'll definitely give you that. Yeah, now that's not to say, like, yeah, to compare it to modern filmmaking, yes, absolutely. But like I look at at least the structure of Revenge of the Sith, and I see a movie that is better constructed as far as pacing and where the acts go. Whereas this film, it just doesn't have the arcs that to me make any sense.
Do you include the first 45 minutes of that Revenge of the Sith own act as a four act film?
It's a five act film.
No.
Maybe not for a film, but it is paced as more of a tragedy. More like a Hamlet kind of a tragedy type thing.
Oh God!
It is. It totally is. This movie doesn't have that luxury. It bounces from planet to planet and introduces characters that have absolutely no background, and just doesn't give them any. it's a very weird film. It's good. It's just weird, and there's reasons why it was weird. Like, this isn't a spoiler. It would be. I'm gonna wait till.
All right. So this is it then. There's the review. We've got a little bit of polarization, but everyone agrees that it was overall good. And I would say better than Force Awakens. Better than that's how I'm feeling that in a big way. What do you got? What about you guys?
I don't know.
That's hard.
The characters in Force Awakens are so much better than the ones in this movie that I think I like Force Awakens better. The music is way better in Force Awakens too.
Yeah, the score was really phoned. I mean, he did it in a month, so what do you want?
Yep.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's obvious. It's very obvious.
Yeah. Oh boy. I guess the takeaway is that we're actually strangely divided here, but we all enjoyed it. So, oh boy.
But it's like a very paper thin division line. I feel like.
It sounds like
we're all on like. We're on like the same plate, the tectonic plate. We're not on different plates. Like
also, but. as Matt pointed out to me, Matt and I saw it in a very different type of environment. It was an industry screening of people that were actually there to judge the film on certain merits, and so it wasn't a lot of fanism going on. Like people didn't clap when people came on screen. People didn't like laugh at jokes. Like it was very it was a screening of 30 or so people at most.
Wow.
And so it was a very strange setting, and I think that sort of like energy that the crowd brings with it on opening night wasn't there. So I'm curious to see.
I think we're gonna see that tonight, and I'm very interested because I'm very excited actually because I think the audience is gonna blow the fuck up. Yeah. To be honest.
Well, let's close those blast doors so we don't get blown the fuck up.
Open the blast doors. Open the blast doors.
First thing I just want to point out is that. If you watch the original teaser, there's about 13 or 14 shots in that teaser. Only one of them made it to the final cut of the film.
Yeah.
This movie is clearly blown the fuck apart. And like, no Krennic on the beach with the cape in the water. No TIE fighter on the gantryway, like that sort of thing. Like the movie is
no Jin in that tube.
Yeah, and Cassian's lines are way different, and his characterization,
no running on the beach.
Yeah, no running on the beach with the plans.
Or the AT-ACTs shooting at them on the beach as they're all running. Like that whole segment, which has been in like every trailer, wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, there was
shot of a Cassian in the Imperial officer's uniform getting thrown into the wall.
Yep.
So much stuff didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this movie has been cut, and I don't think cut as in cut for time, but I think cut as in the movie changed quite a bit. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that originally they weren't going to do what they did to Scarif at the end, which was, blow it up with a Death Star. Like, I think that honestly was a Act 3, blow up these characters, we're not interested in bringing them back. Like, I'm sorry, but Baze and Chirrut were as skin-deep in like characterization as they possibly could have made them without it being like too awkward, but it still was a little bit awkward.
I think there's a lot of stuff that we didn't see, and all honestly, I just hope I hope I get to see the stuff that didn't make it and understand more of what this movie was going to be. And something that Matt and I have been discussing pretty heavily is the novelization of the movie comes out tomorrow, and we are both very interested to see what story that novel tells, because I don't think they have the luxury of editing that type of stuff as down to the wire as the film did. So I'm very curious about the novelization of this movie and what will differ.
Well, if you look at the original novelizations of like New Hope and stuff, they have a bunch of stuff that's not in in the final movie. So that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I will say, watching it getting towards the end and seeing like the seams of the film, how they didn't quite, they're not smooth when they meet, like that you could definitely see some of those hiccups. But in fact, all it really made me do once the credits rolled was admire how well it was put together with all of that considered. Like, we know now that it's like most of this movie, like those early reports, like it's like 80% of that movie's like reshot. I'd be like, you know what? I might believe that now. And if that is the case, hats off to them, because man, they still were able to land that sucker, you know?
I mean, the promo shots of Jeddah all had X-Wing pilots in like prison shackles being escorted through the streets.
Yeah.
And there's crashed X-Wings in the village. Or in the city. Like, there's clearly supposed to have been some sort of, like, battle that ended. And also, like, all of Saw Gerrera, like, his before the crazy haircut, like, all of that stuff he had in the promo shots of him just with a shaved head is gone.
Yeah.
Like, the only time we ever saw him do that is when he lifted up the place where Jin was hiding. So,
when,
like,
when they pull him up on the monitor in the beginning, which is like, Saw, we need your help. You don't see him speak.
Yeah,
like you just you see his face, and it's like a shot from the trailer where he's just like, "If you continue to fight, what will you become?" And I wonder if like they're using that recycled footage just to insert him later, and the reshoot was simply someone putting Forrest Whitaker on a ladder and then looking down at the camera. Like, was that the reshoot, or was like the reshoot the entire discussion when he has hair, and the shot of him?
Oh. I think we lost Doug. We're doing this very raw, by the way, dear listener, because
he appears to be in that scene.
Oh, and Doug's back in.
You have to come save Jin.
Okay, Doug, can you restate all of that?
I was lost.
Yeah, you were coming.
Doug just time traveled. Time traveled.
Starting from where?
Normally, we would not release this, but this is a time-sensitive episode, so we're leaving this in. when you said that Saw in his rebel encampment may have been added in, that's where we got you.
Yeah, did they just take Forrest Whitaker, put him on a ladder, face a camera looking up? Was that the only reshoot, or was the entire thing reshot when he had hair? Like, was all of that entirely new? Was his entire role changed?
I think so, honestly, he may not have even been Saw Gerrera back then, to be quite honest. Like, who knows what they've done with this character? Like, by the way, the lie detection alien, like, where'd that go?
The Force alien, that was crazy. What was that?
Yeah, see, once again, that's what I was trying to say in the beginning. Like, the content is there, and the form of it, the how beautiful it was, and we haven't even started talking about the technology involved in resurrecting characters. Like, holy crap. Like, Tarkin, which, by the way, I think Tarkin was part of the reshoots. Like, I think he was, like, an addition to the movie later. He was amazing. Like, the Peter Cushing stuff it killed me.
I'll tell you what it killed my mood. There was some Krennic. Here's the thing. I've been talking with Mike Rothman, editor in chief of Consequences of Sound, a lot. He gave this a C+ on Consequences of Sound and had a lot of this movie didn't sit well with him. It sounds like he's on the same page as you guys in a lot of respects. He can't stand Krennic because Krennic did nothing. And I agree. Krennic did nothing.
Totally. No, I completely agree. I think Krennic's character was neutered. The only time he really, really showed up was in that opening scene. And honestly, it's because I think Matt and I read Catalyst, and it's such a good conclusion to that book.
Well, I think that was on the screen regardless. But I do think that what the at least what in the film that is presented, what was given to us about Krennic and his story and so on is about him being neutered. The film is repeatedly about him being neutered. It's about ego and the arrogance of the Empire and the arrogance of an Imperial.
Yeah, begging, kissing up to Vader to try and get command back of the Death Star.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, really, I mean, I had Krennic's backstory and everything just in my head, and I can't separate. So there is an arc for Krennic, as is, yeah, now that I think about it, within the sequence of the movie itself, yeah, it's, honestly, he's kind of, I mean, really kind of castrated.
Yeah, and what's very interesting is, I think if I was judging it based on him in the movie, I'd be like, what a weird enemy to play up. But having read Catalyst, it's an actually awesome arc. Like it dovetails off the book so well, and it's not really fair. You can't say that excuses what we got on screen, because I don't think it does. But I can say with confidence that for readers of that story, I think that those people will be very happy with what they got out of Krennic in the film, because it's just the right kind of ending to that character. It fits perfectly with the book, and it heightens the beginning of the movie a lot. There's a scene in the movie where Krennic and Tarkin are kind of bickering to one another and kind of just like being really petty. And that is their whole relationship in the book. And it's some of the best stuff in the book.
And that's what I was trying to get at, is that those scenes were really important for establishing Krennic and for in the context of the film, and giving, like, and really telling the audience, here's what this guy is all about. This is about Tarkin taking this away from him, and this is his arc is the futility of the Imperial lifestyle, or something to that effect. However, I found that the Tarkin effects were very, very impressive, but still nowhere near good enough, in my opinion, to not make them glaringly weird. And I was struggling. I consciously had the experience every time he was on screen of struggling not to just start over scrutinizing him and not paying attention to the very important words that were being said during all of those scenes. The scenes that give Krennic life on the screen were those scenes, and he was overshadowed by the Tarkin clone.
I think a big problem for me as to why Tarkin came off a little bit more fake, like there were moments of Tarkin where I felt like, oh, dude, I got a glimmer of like the real guy. Like it felt so real. But overall, it was strange. And I think it's because we saw it in 3D. Like I'm tempted to say that the 3D effect made his face more cartoony to me.
Yeah, he was high def.
I could see that.
He felt like the both him and the Carrie Fisher clone at the end as well. They were rendered in a way where you could tell that they were extremely good computer renderings, extremely good. But they had like a different look to them that didn't match them to the actual scene
and movements. Yeah, and I think I kind of blame the 3D for that. You know, when I see it again in 2D, I'll see how it comes across, because maybe you're not thinking about it. But I got a problem with 3D movies in general now, because this movie isn't edited to be seen in 3D. Like you're looking off in one direction and 3D's popping out at you over here, and suddenly something's invading your space over on the other side of the screen. I don't want to do 3D movies anymore unless it was filmed specifically in 3D.
Well, yeah, and just, you know, a little tidbit for the listener, like Lucasfilm has been exhibiting this film for like critics and for industry people in 2D. So that goes to show you how much this movie is not intended to have been a 3D film, unlike Force Awakens, which was approached with 3D in mind from the get-go.
Which is,
I mean, even weird. When you got the cameos of like Gold Leader and Red Leader, I'm like, that's really cool, but the 3D kind of ruined it. Like, it didn't feel like it was really them.
Now, those guys, they looked real as hell to me for some reason.
Yeah, they did. I think the CG stuff, someone on Reddit put it very well, that you can tell that they're not real, but in like 5 years, that technology, it's going to get to the point where I think it'll be perfect. Like,
but unless
they
special edition this film would be burdened by a shitty version of that.
See, I don't know. I don't feel like it was shitty. I'm very curious about what the 3D is going to do to it, because we're seeing it in 3D tonight. I'm very curious what that does, because to my eyes in 2D, it was like unbelievable. Like it looked awesome.
There's been like really the last like 2 minutes of the film, the probably the best 2 minutes, they're online like they've leaked, and you know, we took a quick gander at it, and Matt and I, like, I mean, I think it looks great, like as far as the Carrie stuff, like the Leia stuff, I think it still looks really, really good.
What about her audio though?
It might be a 2D, 3D.
You can hear an audio quality difference in the lines she speaks, where it's clearly been sampled.
Yeah, because they chose to sample it from her, like her, you know, Hope line from A New Hope. Yeah, that was a bad.
It's bad,
like, directorial choice, but yeah. Looks wise,
but
I think
I'll
it's,
say that like. And also there's some contextual problems here, because we see the Rebel blockade runner escaping from this battle, and that's, you know, that's the ship with the plans, Vader's in pursuit and all that. That's great, except that then the lie that she tells in A New Hope, it should be like, you're meant to think when watching A New Hope, oh, Vader's tracking down this ship, because though it appears to have positive, like, she's, you know, if this is a council ship, where's the ambassador? Like, it's meant to be, we're on a peaceful mission to Alderaan. Bullshit, you just came from a war zone, idiot. Like, who are you telling this lie to? So that's bad.
I think that's kind of, I honestly think they might be implying that that's obviously a lie. Like, the way I'm kind of taking that is like, I don't think she ever expected them to believe it, and she's just being diplomatic because that's what she has, how she keeps up appearances.
I mean, we can tell that to ourselves as much as we want, but it's like, you know, that it's not appearing in the film. That's the problem. And like, but I will say the Vader sequence in the hallway was terrifying and amazing, and I've wanted to see something like that my entire life.
That satisfied every like weird dark fantasy that I've ever had about that sort of thing. Like,
and
I mean, it was perfect.
That's something that people have been wanting to see for 40 years. Like, we haven't wanted to see it that long because we haven't been alive that long. But people ever since A New Hope came out, people have wanted that, and they got it, and they got it in like the best way that they could have ever gotten it. Yeah, that was just. Perfect.
And it was great. It wasn't too fast. It wasn't like the movements were so on like sort of just like stylistically great with what we've seen of him in the original trilogy. Like, it was just fantastic. And my only problem with the scene is, once again, it involves context, which is probably something about how this movie's been reworked, is they beam these plans to the flagship, and then he boards the flagship, and the only purpose for to be sending it to the flagship instead of directly to the Rebel blockade runner that ends up with the plans is just so that Vader has people to kill. Like, it's a very awkward sequence. Like, in my head, when I'm watching the movie, I'm just like, oh, he's tearing shit through like the flagship that they said he boarded. But then they're like, you know, it's this random rushing of the plans to another ship that happens to be Leia's, which, by the way, Bail Organa did say that he was sending her to Tatooine, not to Scarif. Like, I don't know how she ended up in Admiral Raddus's fleet. Like, none of that makes sense to me.
That's true. I mean,
I feel like the kind of position I'm taking on that, which, again, this is me explaining it away to myself, is that when they scrambled the fleet to Scarif, she was part of the block happened to be docked flagship, and she got scrambled that way too. That's the way I have it in my head, which explains why she's there instead of on her way to Tatooine. But yeah, I mean, again, that's not like an excusable thing. That's just kind of where I'm at in my head.
Now, you guys are something you brought up, you know, early on in this discussion was how much was missing from the trailers and so on and so forth. I'll admit I got caught up in the film. I like to think that I in all cases maintain a critical eye, but it really took me in a profound way. And I didn't really notice that it was missing anything. But I mean, you're right that I was as soon as Jyn started stumbling towards that control thing, I was like, oh, OK, so where's that that shot with the TIE fighter going to happen? And then as soon as the shot changed, we did some other stuff. And I like, OK, I guess it's happening later. And then by that time, things had moved along enough that I forgot, oh, yeah, that never happened. You're right. There's a lot missing. There's a story there that I don't know how long it's going to take for us to learn the story of what happened with this film. Maybe a very long time, but we'll probably know
it
someday.
There is no, like, it dawns on me. Like, so like the Death Star shows up over Scarif, and the only time we ever see it from Scarif or while it's in Scarif is from Scarif. There is no reaction from the Rebel fleet that there's a giant fucking moon sized battle station that has just beamed in. Like, it's just so, there's a lot of this in that movie. Like, I mean, you know, it's just, I honestly bet you we
so there is a line. There is a line where they're like, we have a huge reading of something coming in from hyperspace. They do say that. But they don't like go, holy shit, what is that thing? Like, they don't, there's no like reaction to it, but they.
No, we don't see Wedge.
We didn't see him, but should he be there? Because later he's like, look at the size of that thing. Like, you know, they're all shocked.
And he did get a name drop over the comms. They said Captain Antilles something, something, something.
Well, I think that's a whole other issue. He's on the blockade runner. That's a different Antilles.
Right.
Yeah, Captain. So it's, as a matter of fact, I think it's the one that hands the plans to Leia at the end is Captain Antilles. But, like, yeah, it's just a very sort of weird, like, also, by the way, all of Mon Mothma's lines from the trailers were not, like, in this movie. Like, she's not giving out a mission. Like, it's, like, all of the roles have really been, like, you know, rewritten quite a bit. Cassian's definitely changed. I mean, he's
the line of I rebel.
Which everybody kind of noticed because nobody seemed to like that line, but it's, you know, there's a lot going on. I'm sure there's a lot about Chirrut and Baz and even Bodhi. Like, I liked Bodhi a lot because he obviously you could read in his face what he's been through, but I bet we used to actually learn what kind of stuff that was. Like, he seems to have a lot of guilt on.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is conscious, and when they introduced the character in EW, they talked about the fact that the movie would get into the things that he's had to do for the Empire and had or had to witness, and the movie has none of it. And the impact that the other two had on just being there, like, I don't understand why Chirrut and Baz Malgus were even in the group. Like, I really don't. Like, they just got caught up in it. They were doing a good thing, and they just continued. And it's
honestly, all they had to do to make that make sense was keep the line where Baze says they destroyed our home.
Yep, that's all they had to do.
And if they kept that line in, I would have been like, all right, that motivation is clear. But as it stands, it's kind of like, well, they got there by the inch of their life. They're lucky. And then they just decided to keep going. But that, again, those motivations happen off screen. We don't really see them, right?
Yeah, and the AT-ACTs had like a fraction of the presence that the AT-ATs did in Empire. Like, you know, the X-Wings took them apart continually, the U-Wings took them apart, like they were only on screen for a few seconds at a time. Like, it's just
I want to stress one thing real quick though. I want to make sure that, at least from where I'm coming from, I think this conversation that we're all having could be perceived as like two people who really enjoyed it versus two people who are being like hypercritical and didn't enjoy it. But
you guys have had 24 hours to process this, by the way. And
No. I'm just trying to make it clear that, like, I think we all enjoyed it. And I definitely enjoyed it. I think we're just like, we are in like the processing phase. So we're at slightly different points in our like lifespan of this film. But I really don't want my criticisms to be taken as like being unhappy with it or being like I walked out of it disappointed. Like, I definitely didn't. I really enjoyed it. I just want to get that off my chest because I can realize how this conversation might be perceived as like 2v2, and that's not where I'm going.
Go ahead, Doug.
I was gonna say, can we take a quick moment to acknowledge the guts that it took to kill off all these main characters that. For if this was a Marvel movie, they all would have made it out alive, and K2SO would have limped out squeaking, oil bleaking at the last second. You know what I mean? It would have been like, we thought you died. Well, so did I, but apparently I'm more less destructive than I thought or whatever. Or some bullshit.
Or you would have saw Jin building baby K2 like baby Groot.
Exactly. Like it would have saved his head.
And he would have looked exactly like a pop fig.
Yep.
But no, I mean, the fact that they killed everybody, so impressive. Like, that's what we wanted.
It's not what I wanted. I really thought they were going to go the Marvel route and that they could have used some of this roster for like a team-up movie with other spin-offs. And I was not expecting them to. That's what I was saying, Cap, a couple days ago when I told you we were so wrong about this movie. Like, that's where I really felt we were so, like, at least I was. I was so wrong. Like, I didn't think they were going to do it. And they did it.
I think we could still see any one of those people in the Han Solo movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because it takes place, you know? It's very possible.
Yeah, and you know, and keeping in mind also that you know, Rian Johnson and Lord and Miller were all special thanks credits at the end. Like
they were, yeah.
You know, they're all kind of working and involved heavily with like kind of mapping out a world. They said that this movie actually may, the rumors are, somehow tie into Episode 8, and that probably has to do with the Guardian of the Wills.
I was just about to bring that up of like, how does this tie into Episode 8? Do we think that that weirdo lackey that was like, Lord Vader, was that Snoke? It's just like the big bad of the future trilogy is the weak guys. Oh my lord, painting Lord Vader. Someone's at the door for you.
Pablo already said no Snoke in Rogue One.
What a weird addition, by the way. Vader's strange ass crony, like that. You know, no such character has shown up in any of the content for the official universe so far. Nowhere. Vader's castle? Where the fuck is that thing? Okay. Is that Malachor? Okay. What the fuck?
Okay, well,
it's Mustafar. It's Mustafar.
It's Mustafar from Episode 3. And keeping in mind, also the flashback for Jin was on Coruscant, so we have some Episode 3 connections. Which actually, it may even
and
really
the be, Juggernaut, the Juggernaut
and,
tank
and the Juggernaut. Yep, Juggernaut tank also in Episode 3. So. Now, as far as lackeys, the Emperor does have some weird-looking lackeys in the throne room in Jedi.
He does. Those guys are dope, though. They got purple robes on. They got green eyes.
That is true. and Vader's castle was actually a very famous piece of Macquarie concept art that was never used. Yes. That was actually incorporated very heavily into the expanded universe. It was on the planet of Biss, I think it was called. And it was actually... It was in a lot of Dark Horse comics. It was in a couple of the Junior Jedi Knight novels, and then also was a level in, I want to say, Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. So, like, it was a very popular EU destination. And to see it actually come alive in the movie, even though it was on a different planet, it was actually on the, you know, George's lava planet, was fucking awesome for me. I was so happy.
The design was great. I just want to know, why the fuck does Vader pitch his tent on Mustafar, of all places?
Pain, man. Pain, dude. That's like, I feel like that's the pieces of Anakin that are still in there, right? Like it's him holding on to his past in whatever kind of fucked up, twisted way he can.
That would be the worst part of his past, though. It's like, wow, you could equally hold on to your past on Coruscant, where you lived with the woman you loved, like if you wanted to stay close to that.
It's the birthplace of Vader, too, I guess, you know, or the mechanical. I don't know. It's penance is a weird thing, I guess, you know. Some people like me whip themselves in the back, and some people build their castle on Mustafar.
Penance. He's Darth Vader. He's not looking for penance.
I will say that him being in the tube wasn't lame. It was actually scary. So that was cool.
Yeah, totally.
I was worried. I was so worried it would be lame, but I actually really dug it. However,
I think his confrontation with Krennic kind of sucked. The joke was like, you joke now? Okay.
I love the joke.
he had some bad jokes in the Vader comic, I feel.
You're right, he did. I mean, it's if you consider that, then that is right on par with that. And also, you know, I know they tried to make this suit a hybrid of Empire and New Hope and make it look classic at the same time, but maybe it's just the definition of the film. Maybe it was the 3D, I don't know. It looked like garbage. He looked like not in that scene. He, without the obscurity of darkness and all that, he looked super not threatening and a little goofy. And if I didn't know, shit, man, that's Darth Vader. If I'd never seen anything before, I would have been like, that guy looks dumb. What's up with him?
I gotta say, the voice is what did it for me, though. As soon as he started talking, I was like, okay, we're in it now. Like, this is for real.
Mm-hmm.
And the pun didn't bother me that much because he also half made a pun in Empire when the one dude's like, he's like, when the Falcon finally escaped with hyperspeed, he's like, all right, I'll go and apologize to Lord Vader myself. Cut to the dead body falls to the ground. He goes, apology accepted. You know, like, he's gotten a little couple zingers before.
Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Well, just the visual guide, which came out, I guess it comes out tomorrow, but some people have it, says that Vader, it is by the Emperor's design that Vader lives in such an unforgiving environment. And his attendant is named Vani, V-A-N-E-E.
Okay. I wonder what his story is. I guess we'll find out sooner or later.
It says, the stark modern structure is built over an ancient castle full of dark secrets.
Huh. Okay. I'm intrigued. I like it overall. Even Vani, he's good for some jokes. I'm just disappointed we didn't see him in the Darth Vader comic, quite frankly. I'm also disappointed. Okay, let me address I felt like I read into a lot of the characters. I felt like even with you're right, having those other lines could have improved them, punched up, and certainly more screen time and more story for these characters. It would have benefited everything. But I felt like the actors were so good and so compelling that they did actually tell me a lot by saying very little. And I felt like I read into them enough to forge an emotional connection with all of them, so that they did mean something to me. And I don't know why.
Yeah, unfortunately, it only killed K2's really. Did it for me, but the other three is just, it was unfortunate, but like, to me, I don't know, it felt like, I don't know, Dak getting shot out of the, well, I mean, that might be an
issue. Hey, come on, man.
It's just,
fuck you.
Come on, Matt. Don't throw Dak under the bus like that.
Don't throw him under the AT-AT.
yeah, there you go.
No, I'm thinking back to, once again, also, I'm a 32-year-old now who is just, you know, like, you know, life's beaten down on me at this point, that like, it's different than when I was, 15, 16, whenever it was Phantom Menace came out. Yeah, I guess 15. But I'm sorry, when Qui-Gon took the saber to the gut, that was way more heart-wrenching to me than these three. And both of them only got, you know, the characters in this movie and Liam Neeson only got one movie to prove their worth. And to me,
I can agree with that. I can relate to that. Qui-Gon's death hit me way harder.
See, Qui-Gon's death didn't hit me hard because somebody spoiled it for me. So these guys, Lucasfilm
fucking spoiled it for everyone. The soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there you go. Yeah, Lucasfilm did spoil it. So yeah, I wasn't surprised.
I don't know. I mean, I'll agree that Chirrut's death was kind of like, that was okay. I mean, he was walking into a death sequence very slowly, I might add. But Bodhi, I felt
we knew.
Yeah, I mean, we knew because he told us at Celebration. but Bodhi, I really felt for him because
was unseen.
It was so incidental. It was like, oh, he's just like that guy. He was doing some really good work there, but he is a casualty of war in the fullest sense. The dude got grenaded, you know?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they're using the thermal imploders from Battlefront, which I think is awesome. And it just like, to me, I kept, every time I saw it, I got annoyed because I fucking hate those things in Battlefront. Like, you hear the noise go off and you're like, God damn it, I'm about to die. Because if you hear the noise, it means you're within firing. Like you're pretty much, you're dead. Mm. And like, same thing in this, like every time I saw one of them, I'm like, God damn it. Like, it just didn't take me out. It's just, I was just like, man,
You know what else didn't show up in this movie? Let's take this fight to the skies.
Yeah, what the hell?
I was going to bring that up. I was going to bring that up and say that was my biggest disappointment. Where the hell was that guy?
Well, you know we ought to mention before, you know, we have to go, the Rebels references.
Yeah.
There's some good ones. There's General Syndulla over the intercom.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghost does a great job in the Battle Scarif. And I didn't catch it, but according to Pablo Hidalgo, Chopper is in the movie.
Huh. I didn't catch it either. I did see Steve Blum's name in the credits, but he was probably just voicing random dudes. And Sam Witwer's as well. And Yuri Lowenthal, for voice actor fans out there, though I don't think he's done anything prominent in the Star Wars universe. I could be wrong about that. But hey, guys, I hated the 3PO throwaway sequence, and holy shit, what the fuck was up with that Ponda Baba thing?
That was so stupid. That was so stupid.
Unbelievably stupid.
Both of those scenes were stupid.
like the 3PO and R2 one was like completely unnecessary. It was like the like, but the one that like at least that was like it made sense for them to be there. I can never remember the full name of the dude with the mushed up face that Pondababa hangs out with.
Doctor like, Evazan.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Doctor Evazan. Mm-hmm.
Doctor Evazan and Pondababa. Like they bump into them. If this is the first time, if you haven't for some reason you're listening to this, you haven't seen the film yet, you're crazy for starters. But second of they bump into them on Scarif and. Or Jedha. They bump into them in Jedha, and that would imply that within about maybe an hour tops of bumping into them on the streets, they left before that entire system or town was obliterated. What? Why?
Yeah,
whose idea was that? That's so dumb.
Yeah,
like, if you're gonna make a dumb nod to something, why not just take the voice actor who plays Hera and actually have had her at that important fucking meeting? They could make her look just like her. She's old.
Oh yeah.
Like absolutely. I mean, her real life human age could be the same as Hera's real life age that many years after where Rebels is presently. She would have fit
just
there.
Have like have Hera or Zeb be on the back. Let us speak.
Right, like any of that would have been better, more validated, and not just indulged like a I don't need fan nods, and I mean there's a lot of reasonable criticism about all the fan nods here, but the Pondababa and 3PO ones, like they stick out like a sore thumb. They're fucking shameful. The Jimmy Smits, I love him. I feel for Bail Organa. Yeah. I love him as Bail Organa. Like I actually, even though there was a dumb kind of joke line about he trusts his life. I guess he's talking about Leia. Like even though that was a dumb line, I still felt it because I know what he's walking into, and it sucks.
Yeah, it really hurt when he said, "I'm gonna go back to Alderaan," and I was like, "No, don't go back.
Please be secretly alive."
Yeah, it's like we have a chance to rewrite that history. It's never mentioned that he was on Alderaan during its explosion.
Yeah. Please don't go.
But you know, I liked. That even though they did try their hardest to make that sequence dumb, and it's a shame because I feel that in a large part, like seeing other stuff, like mentioning General Syndulla is a nice little bone throw, but would have been much more impactful for her to have been there because this creates a tapestry. Like for all the ways that these weird little side things, these dumb like winks at the audience, for all the like they delight, you know, basic fans who are, and I don't mean to sound dismissive of anybody, but you know, people, ooh, I recognize that. Anybody who like gets excited over the recognition rather than the actual context, that, you know, that's, they're playing to the cheap seats effectively. And that sucks. But if these kind of nods to the wider universe were done well, what we'd be looking at is seeing Star Wars as a tapestry where these things that, if you don't know the context, they just sort of make it seem like a richer, fuller world. And if you do know the context, then it's a hella richer, fuller world. And it's a shame that they don't really know how to do these things yet. It's like fucking having Stan Lee show up in like seven sequences in the same film, you know?
Also, slightly off topic, but I also just want to say how much I loved all the female pilot X-wing pilots.
Yeah, that was cool.
There was like two or three in U-wing pilots, and I was just like, yeah. I was just like, fuck yeah, bunch of lady pilots flying around, fucking shit up. I love that. It was cool to see that finally. Yeah.
Though
it was just something that popped into my mind.
Yeah, and I agree. And though we're clearly missing some what would be cool parts of the battle on Scarif. Overall, that whole sequence was, man, like there was great stuff happening.
So there was one moment where there was a few moments in this industry screening we were at where Matt and I had to really struggle to keep our shit together. And one of them was when the leaders of the squadrons were radioing in, and the way they pitched the voice over the radios were the same thing. It's like, we're all gold leader standing by, red leader. Like when all that shit was happening and the formations were starting, Matt and I were both like, just, we were both shaking with excitement because it was like the most fucking A New Hope shit ever. It was just so good. It was perfect.
It was more Star Wars than Star Wars.
Oh man, that part was just, that was just, that hit it right in the heart for me. It was really great.
Yeah. I mean, this is a hard conversation to have because like I'm still, you guys are bringing up a lot of good points, but I was affected. I was like, I was so jazzed. I couldn't believe what I'd just seen. For all the, there's so much good in this film. There really is. That, like, the weird, almost like, this is an overly strong word, but it's kind of like having a nightmare. Like, you remember parts of it and so on. Having a fragmented dream, like feeling like you wake up, you felt something, and then thinking about it, and you're like trying to put the pieces together. But you're right. This is, like, for all its successes, is from what we saw on the screen, this is a fragmented film, and I it's kind of almost, the way my mind interprets it is almost a kind of body horror. Thinking that, like, someone's intention, some script writer and director, Gareth Edwards, who did a great job, like, in so many aspects of it, like, their baby was just dissected and reconfigured before their eyes, and what came out the other side was acceptable and passes, like, in many respects, but why are we seeing Frankenstein movies? I don't like it. I don't like knowing that every movie that I see, no matter how good it turns out, has been Frankenstein.
Yeah, every movie is a Frankenstein movie. But, dude, we got a Frankenstein movie of something original. Like, dude, the cards were stacked against this.
They were.
From before it even was made. I mean, like, this movie should not have been made. And I'm amazed that it turned out the way it did.
And this movie should not have worked. And if you're going to do spin-off films, this is not the one you would have expected to be the first.
No,
like,
exactly.
Han Solo, Boba Fett, like, all these character origin stories. We didn't get anybody's origin story in this movie. Like, we got an event.
We got a beautiful story about heroes who gave everything and died. Like,
Look what happened to The Hobbit. The Hobbit turned into an origin story for almost everybody in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's where these movies usually turn, and this one didn't. And this I hope I don't come off with the wrong impression, just like the things to dissect from this movie. But this movie overall is just, it's another great addition. And I'm so excited about where they can go. And I hope this movie is enormously successful so that maybe they can start less Frankensteining it, because they realize that they can do something weird and different, something that Bob Iger can say is just interesting storytelling, and realize, like, yeah, that's what people want. Like, you know, those comments came off as like, I'm nervous about this movie. Don't be nervous. Just give us some interesting new stuff. Let people do their thing.
I doubt that anybody would be listening this far into this and think, I don't know. We all like this film, and it's all of our years of analysis that have gone into leading up to the point of us four fans / critics all seeing this. It's made for this, what I hope is an interesting conversation, but also it's created a very strange experience for us viewing this movie. I do hope people see it. I hope a lot of people see it. I'm looking forward to seeing it a second time. I really enjoyed it. I hope that my enthusiasm for it is not setting people up for disappointment when they see it and be like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you.
and I hope it also means that they're not afraid to start telling further adventures in other media too, like really getting outside the box. It reminded me so much of the great LucasArts games that weren't just rehashes of the movies. You know, like the Rebel Assault 2 and Jedi Knight and Force Unleashed and all these other things. And it's like, you know, that's what we want from Star Wars. We want expansion.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the things that bugged you guys, although we all agree they're not that big of a deal, they really didn't bug me, because I've seen all the exact things that bugged me were done in other films I already saw this year a million times worse. You guys complain about, like, the cameo with 3PO and R2. Did you guys see the Ghostbusters reboot? You don't know what bad cameos are.
Yeah, that definitely the surgery on this movie was done with a lot more precision.
Yeah, and I look forward to hearing the stories of what happened. I look forward to someday seeing those sequences. I hope they don't pace it out as poorly as Force Awakens, but I'm sure they're going to. And I did like this movie, and I can't wait to see it again. You heard Kathleen Kennedy. We mentioned it in our last episode. She's saying she's going to wait to see what the response is. They're going to talk in January. They're going to have a postmortem. They're going to see how weird they're going to get, basically. This is your chance to vote with your dollar and make Rogue One a success. And if it even remotely holds a candle to the power, the money making power of Force Awakens, I'd like to think that that will tell them that we don't have to Frankenstein these movies, but maybe it's telling them we do. We need to follow a certain formula. I don't know how to send them the right message, quite frankly. But at the very least, this was still, even after having been dramatically reconfigured, it was still a very brave movie, a very bold movie, and a very risky movie. So that needs to be rewarded. And if we don't reward that, even in this penny-pinching, difficult time that we're in, we're going to see some shitty middle-of-the-road Star Wars movies. And we've had enough of those, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Should we wrap it up here? I know you guys got to go. And
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I know. I feel like we could talk for even longer. Yeah, but we got to go see it again. You know. Damn it.
So obviously, this is a conversation that is going to be ongoing. For everybody, share your feelings. Probably the best place to do that is the Star Wars Spoilers Facebook group. If you search Star Wars Spoilers on Facebook, that is the official State of the Empire group for all people across the internet to come and discuss Star Wars spoilers safely in a safe environment where you won't have to upset your friends. So definitely join us there, because I think we're all gonna. I mean, my cell phone's already been blowing up with other people who saw it tonight trying to ask me my opinions and so on. We need to all do it in one place, because I don't have time for these many separate conversations. Let's all do it. Let's all source our feelings there. All the hosts, all of you listening to it, come there, or comment on Consequences of Sound, comment on Nerdy Show, whatever you want to do. But that's our main hub, I think, for safe, spoilerific conversations. So congregate there. We'll see you there, and we'll see you pretty soon. Probably might be early January before we do another State of the Empire, but we'll be there soon. And of course, here's our Willow Watch news. Warwick Davis's character got a hell of a lot of screen time. Wow. two, we still have that a new all Willow Watch episode recorded and incoming. It's going to take a little bit of production, but it'll be out probably early next year, and excited for you guys to hear it. So thanks so much for listening to this episode of State of the Empire. I'm Cap.
I'm Doug.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rex.
We'll see you next time, guys. May the Force be with you. Thanks for listening to State of the Empire. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.